the title of our lesson this morning is Renewing Your Source. And to understand how to remain in a constant renewal, a constant vibration of divine source, we will want to operate from the awareness that there is one transformative, evolving, and renewing energy residing with all people at all times. And this energy that you are, and that everyone else is the loving, transformative essence of the creative mind of God. The energy of presence is resurrecting and renewing as you 24/7, and allows you to face and interact with any issue of life, problem, or circumstance from a renewed awareness of your own divinity. Now, the master teacher, Jesus, was the great example of this loving energy in individualized form, as are you. Individualizing as you, the loving energy of presence and its expanding essence, beckons for the focus of your heart, your mind, and your soul, as its constant newness invites you to achieve and express all its bounty beyond measure, and to never exist within the energies of fear, worry, or unhappiness. As you walk the path of this physical realm, now, of course, there are going to be times when a stone or a few will need to be rolled away. However, the power of Source thriving as you will always allow for an effortless and easy rolling away of the largest stone, the biggest obstacle that may temporarily block the path of you living your innate divinity. The Easter season provides us with the awareness that it is up to us individuals to renew ourselves in the energetic essence of spirit that we are, so that our hearts, our minds, and our souls may rise beyond the problems and worries of yesterday in a renewed and refreshed state of being within the immediate moment of now. No sealed cave or temporary problems and worries may contain the individual who claims, affirms, and knows themselves as the omnipotent, loving energy of God, as being all that they are, and that lives that perfect knowing in a consistent state of thought, action, and manifestation. Resurrection in the moment, and every moment to follow, is the vibrant activity of spirit within us evolving all the potential, all the good of God forward and far beyond the self-assigned confinements of our past mistakes and regrets. The master teacher established the example of living this journey as an individualization of all we know and believe God to be. And within that example, he showed the way for all individuals to embrace the same knowing and belief and overcome the problematic complexities of the physical realm. Easter's resurrection story displays for us through the example of Jesus that life is perpetual, and the unconditional informative power of God's loving energy is an essence, a state of mind that lasts and renews forever. You are omnipotent, immortal, spiritual being, forever free to choose all that you create and live. The essence of God that you are is consistently on call to rise up and express beyond all that you shall meet on your journey. And look, we get it. There are times that it feels like the energy to take just one more step may feel lacking, perhaps totally depleted. And you may overcome that feeling by simply tapping into and tuning into the omnipresent energy of Source that you are. I want you to take note of something in the story. crucifixion. Jesus was on the cross for only 3 hours. And that should be the maximum amount of time any of us allow any problem or worry to confine our transformative essence of our consciousness. As the individualization of the grace and glory of Spirit, you have all the power of the universe within you to renew your consciousness and the whole of your life into any new and dynamic expression that you choose. And this is the joyful promise of Easter. Its wonder, its newness, its boundless potential illustrates the sweeping triumph of the active energy and evolution of the good of God, expressing and through all that you are. So it's true that the master teacher set the example of keeping his thought and energy in alignment with pure source energy, even while he walked the journey in the physical realm. And as we each follow that example, understand that we are renewing ourselves in our own innate divinity and transforming worry or struggle and fear into an endless string of magnificent manifestation. This month, this time of spring, where we kind of feel the energy of renewal in the air, focus the unending power of your thoughts, not on the sealed cave of any problem, but rather on the individualization of God you have come to this journey to be. Focusing on the problem only serves to seal the tomb more soundly. Focus your thought, your beliefs, and your actions on being the activity of the loving energy of Source, thriving as you. And doing so not only rolls away the stone, it propels you into living and being a greater expression of God, living a joyful and magnificent journey. Your life renews as the promise of Easter through the renewing of your mind and your strengthened knowing of the truth and love of Spirit, living this journey as you. So in the Science of Mind, Dr. Holmes said this. He wrote, as the human gives way to the divine, in all people they become the Christ. Now, we know in New Thought that Christ is a state of being. It is awareness. In biblical times, the Christ meant the anointed one. And you are each and all anointed ones. The Christ consciousness does not dwell in the past. It lets go of what was and embraces the vitality of what can be, through a renewed sense of the individual's infinite divinity. So we have an Easter tradition at TCSL, and I'm not going to give up the tradition. We're just going to expand it. And the tradition is a reading from a letter from God. And as I read the letter again this year, in preparation for it this morning, I realized if there was ever a time for us to hear the letter from God, to share the wisdom from the letter from God, this is the time. So I'm going to invite you just a few moments just to hear this letter in its entirety. Here's what it says. My dear children, and believe me, that's all of you. I consider myself a pretty patient guy. I mean, look at the Grand Canyon. It took millions of years to get it right. And about evolution, boy, nothing is slower than designing that whole Darwinism thing to take place cell by cell, gene by gene. I've been patient through your fashions, civilizations, wars, and schemes, and the countless ways you take me for granted until you get yourselves into big trouble again and again. I want to let you know about a few things that are starting to tick me off. First of all, your religious rivalries are driving me up a wall. Enough already. Let's get one thing straight. These are your religions, not mine. I'm the whole enchilada. I'm beyond them all. every one of your religion's claims, there is only one of me, which, by the way, is absolutely true. But in the very next breath, each religion claims it's my favorite, and each claims its Bible was written personally by me, and all the other Bibles are man-made. Oh, me. How do I even begin to put a stop to such complicated nonsense? Okay, listen up. I'm your father and mother, and I don't play favorites among my children. Also, I hate to break it to you, but I don't write. My longhand is awful, and I've always been more of a doer anyway. So all of your books, including those Bibles, were written by men and women. They were inspired, remarkable people. But they also made mistakes here and there. I made sure of that so you would never trust a written word more than your own living heart. You see, one human being to me, even the bum on the street, is worth more than all the holy books in the world. That's just the kind of guy I am. My spirit is not a historical thing. It's alive, right here, right now, as fresh as your next breath. Holy books and religious rites are sacred and powerful, but not more so than the least of you. They were only meant to steer you in the right direction, not to keep you arguing with each other, and certainly not to keep you from trusting your own personal connection with me. Which brings me to my next point about your nonsense. You act like I need you and your religions to stick up for me or win souls. For my sake, please don't do me any more favors. I can stand quite well on my own, thank you very much. I don't need you to defend me, and I don't need constant credit. I just want you to be good to each other. And another thing, I don't get all worked up over money or politics, so stop dragging my name into your dramas. For example, I swear to me, I never threatened Oral Roberts. I never rode in any of the Rajneesh's Rolls Royces. I never told Pat Robertson to run for president. And I've never, ever had a conversation with Jim Baker, Jerry Falwell, or Jimmy Swaggart. Of course, come Judgment Day, I certainly intend to. The thing is, I want you to stop thinking of religion as some sort of loyalty pledge to me. The true purpose of your religion is so that you become more aware of me, not the other way around. Believe me, I already know you. I know what's in your heart. I know and love you with no strings attached. So lighten up and enjoy me. That's what religion is best for. What you seem to forget is how mysterious I am. You look at the petty differences in your scriptures and say, well, if this is true, then that can't be true. But instead of trying to figure out my paradoxes and unfathomable nature, which, by the way, you never will, why not just open your hearts to the simple common threads in all religions? You know what I'm talking about. Love and respect everyone. Be kind. Even when life is scary or confusing. Take courage and be of good cheer, for I am always with you. Learn how to be quiet so you can hear my still, small voice. I don't like to shout. Leave the world a better place by living your life with dignity and gracefulness, for you are my own child. Hold nothing back from life, for the parts of you that can die surely will, and the parts that can't won't. So don't worry, be happy. I stole that last line from Bobby McFerrin, but who do you think gave it to him in the first place? Simple stuff. Why do you keep making it so complicated? It's like you're always looking for an excuse to be upset, and I'm very tired of my being think I appear, whether you call me Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah, Wakantankan, Rama, Father, Mother, or even the void of Nirvana? Do you think I care which of my special children you feel closest to? Jesus, Mary, Muhammad, Krishna, Muhammad, Buddha, or Ernest, or any of the others? You can call me and my special ones any name you choose. If only you would go about my business of loving one another as I love you. How can you keep neglecting something so simple? Now, I'm not telling you to abandon your religions. Enjoy them. Enjoy your religions. Honor them. Learn from them, just as you would enjoy, honor, and learn from your parents. But seriously, do you walk around telling everyone that your parents are better than theirs? Your religion, like your parents, must always have that most special place in your heart. I don't mind that at all. Each has a unique style so that people can find the best path for themselves. My special children, the ones that your religions revolve around, all live in the same place, my heart. And they get along perfectly, I assure you. The clergy must stop creating a myth of sibling rivalry where there is none. My blessed children of earth, the world has grown too small for your pervasive religious bigotries and confusion. The whole planet is connected by air travel, satellite dishes, telephones, live streaming, rock concerts, diseases, and mutual needs and concerns. Get with the program. If you really want to help, then commit yourselves to figuring out how to feed your hungry, clothe your naked, protect your abused, and shelter your poor. And just as importantly, make your own everyday life a shining example of kindness and good humor. I have given you all the resources you need. If only you abandon your fear of each other and begin living, loving, and laughing together. Finally, my dear children, when you think of the life of Jesus and the fearlessness with which he chose to live and die, as I love him, so do I love each of you. I'm not really tipped off. I just wanted to grab your attention because I hate to see you suffer. But I gave you free will, but I just want you to be happy. Always trust in me, your one and only God. So, there's a lot of message in there for us to unpack. Would you not agree? And I want to start with the awareness that I've been doing this letter from God for so many Easters now and for so long. I don't know where it came from. I don't remember how it came across to me. If you want to promote it as a letter from God, please feel free. Or you can say, I wrote it. I'm fine with that. Well, you know, there's only one mind, right? So let's begin looking at the overall important message. And the overall important message for me is this. Sometimes theology, religion, stands in the way of the expression of our divinity. And the Easter season, this time of renewal and coming forward as the potential and the energetic essence of the divine, and this moment and every moment hereafter, is about a practiced awareness of our own innate divinity, about recognizing that all that's going on right now in the external world, the virus and all that great stuff, it's not about what they will do to solve it. It's not what they will do to heal it. It's not about what they did to have the virus impact them. It's about what we choose to do in this moment. And what we want to choose to do in this moment is know and affirm our oneness, our alignment with Source. To know and affirm that it is through love, as love, all things are healed, all things are transformed. Because that is all that God is pure, loving, transformative begin looking at all that's going on in the external world as nothing other than a calling for us to live the truth we know and accept God to be. The truth we know and accept that Source is individualizing with us. It's no longer about the external world. It's about the consciousness we contain, the divinity that we are, no longer being confined, no longer being belittled by old ideas and old ways of being. It's about stepping forward in truth and in life and not caring or being concerned about what others think. As we say, right here now, I am both the Alpha and Omega to my experience. It is in this truth I not only allow the goodness of God that I am to come forward for myself, but I am the conduit for it to come forward and heal, bless, and prosper all others. That's getting our egos out of the way. I would even say that's getting our religions out of the way. The master teacher said one thing. Remember? One new commandment. That we love one another. Nothing was added to that. Nothing was added to that. And what that means to me and what it should mean to everyone else is that love was the most important expression from the master teacher. Why? Because God is love, love is God. God is energy, therefore energy is love, and vice versa. Right? All of that is intricately combined. So if our theologies are asking us to be judgmental of someone, if our theologies are saying some are accepted but others are not, don't you think it's time for a renewal of the understanding of that one commandment that was brought forward? Just saying. Of course you do. That's why you're here. That's why you're staying at home, watching live stream, and not locked into a space with 2,000 other people right now. You have common sense. Robert Ubersoll wrote this so wisely. He said, "We are living in a time of taller buildings, but shorter tempers, wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints, higher income, but lower morals, more knowledge, but less wisdom, fancier houses, but broken homes. We have conquered outer space, but not inner space. Learned to make a living, but not a life. Added years to our life, but not life to our years. We spend too recklessly, drive too fast, anger too quickly, stay up late, get up too tired, read too little, and watch too much TV, and pray too seldom." So look, the lesson for the shared experience of all of humanity that we're all currently having is having at least an acknowledgement of the truth of Ubersoll's wisdom and then renew the power of Source that we are. Not just when all this is over and we're all back together again, but that renewed sense of Source, that renewed sense of alignment with the power and energy of God that you are, every day that follows. Every day that follows. Not only internally, but externally. We have to get past this false idea that our spiritual work is done every morning when we get up and every night when we go to bed. It is not. Our spiritual work, our spiritual effort is done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are never without that connection, and we are never without that ability to evolve something vibrant, something new, simply from the awareness, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha and the Omega. And I get it. It's a scary time out there. It really is. But remember that you have within you all that you need to begin reaching for, going within, to discover the power of God that you are, to begin focusing on the good that you have currently in your life, the big and the small. Esther Hicks said, reach for the thought that feels better and allow the natural well-being that is yours to come forward. Reach for the thought that feels better and allow the natural well-being that is yours to come forward. So that natural well-being is that state of awareness that at all times we have the potential to express our divinity, to live as our true purpose, which is to express love, to honor that first commandment, that only commandment, and to move forward throughout all of our journey in that consciousness of being, the divine and perfect function and form. Perfect function and form. We will get through this not as a result of any mass inoculation or any mass medical breakthrough that comes forward. We will get through this through a mass honoring and loving of all people around the world. That's how we get through this. Dr. Holmes wrote this. He said, perfect God, perfect person, perfect being. So for religious scientists and metaphysicians everywhere, the Easter season is a time of renewal and recommitment. It is a celebration of our unity and our oneness with the divine. But how can we go about celebrating our oneness with the divine if we're hanging on to petty judgments and concerns or petty judgments of others or concerns of the past? We cannot. So not only is Easter about renewal, it is also about release. We have to be prepared to release the old hatred, the old bigotries, the old ways of being, and just renew in that oneness of source that we are. Max Dupree said, we cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are. What do you want to be? Well, no matter what it is, what you are is that evolving energy of source in the now. What you are is the evolving, expanding goodness of the divine, choosing through each decision you make how to express that divinity, the good that will come forward through you and as you. That's what you're becoming. That's what you are right now. I'm going to share one little transformation story to show you guys how easy this is. And I'm going to start, actually I guess it will be two. So last year, last Mother's Day, we do an annual Mother's Day brunch for the mothers in the congregation. And afterwards, all the folks pitch in and they help put the tables away and the chairs back in order. And so keep that in mind. They're putting the chairs away. And I have a reputation, shall we say, for liking the chairs in a certain way. And so as we were all working together, putting the chairs away, I heard one of our newer members ask one of our founding members, who had been with me 20 years, or been with us 20 years, the new member asked the founding member, do you think this is right? And the founding member said, it doesn't matter, it's going to be wrong anyway. And I realized in that moment, oh, that might be an opportunity for me to heal something within me. Rather than be known for the chairs having to be in a certain way. And so that's an easy opportunity. And if you guys could see the center now, chairs are everywhere. They're everywhere because the new flooring's coming, the live stream stuff, oh my God, it doesn't bother me at all. So, but I want to share with you a little bit about a little bit about the Bell's palsy, right? Because if you go back and look at the video of me 4 weeks ago, right? 4 weeks? 4 weeks ago, this whole side of my face was non-functioning. And speech was a little difficult. And by non-functioning, for folks that don't know, Bell's palsy causes a muscle control, loss of muscle control in part of your face. Right? So my eye was droopy, my lips was droopy. And it was a interesting experience to have. I don't recommend it. Now, doctors said, and as doctors do, that for me to expect not to see any improvement for 5 months. And it's okay. That was okay. Because I know the doctors were just sharing what they knew. And I'm okay with that. That's why we go to the doctors. We need them to share what they know. And I let them do that. The whole time, though, I'm thinking, well, they don't know what I know. And what I know is that I can get rid of this much quicker and much faster by staying centered in that awareness of the divine that I am, which is what I did. And so I went out and I found there's no treatment for Bell's palsy, but turns out acupuncture is a treatment for Bell's palsy, and I found an acupuncturist that was a medical doctor that practiced acupuncture. And once a week, I'd go to her. This Wednesday is my last appointment. And then also once a week, I would do a sound and light therapy session on the bed that we provide here. And I'm not going to go into sound and light therapy. You can see it on the website. But in addition to that, every day, treatment, meditation, Reiki on myself. Why is this important? Do I say this to say, you know, this is what I did? No, it's not what I did. I say this to say that there's something within you that knows something better, something greater than what you've been told or what you may have accepted from others. And that something greater within you that knows something more powerful, is coming forward, pressing through you to come forward with one intention, for you to love more, for you to transform more, for you to allow a release of all that was so that you become all that you may be. You follow that? Of course you do. You're a very bright group. So, this Easter season, I invite you to do one thing. Love more. Just love more. Start with yourself and let that expand. And then that expansion of the loving energy that you are